Romans chapter 3. The title of the message tonight is, Does the End Justify the Means? Does the End Justify the Means? In the book of Romans chapter 3, if you would follow along as I read, What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous, who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, Let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. That's going to be the verse we're going to focus on, in verse 8 there tonight. But before we do that, let's begin in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this service tonight. Lord, we thank you for this assembly. And Lord, we pray for our pastor as he's away. And Lord, we just ask your blessing on the rest of his week teaching. And Lord, we also ask your blessing on this message tonight. And Lord, just we ask that the truth go forth with your blessing. And Lord, that there are ears to hear. And Lord, we just look to you tonight and just ask for your blessing on all that we do. And we just pray in your name. Amen. So in this section of Romans, we have Paul here being accused of, in verse 8, slanderously so. Meaning that spoken word is one that slanders. And so, in this section, what we have here is the main point that I'm going to come around to, which is going to be, does the end justify the means? And in verse 8 specifically, Paul is using the terms, let us do evil that good may come, as a question. And so, so in this section, Paul is saying this particular phrase in a way that is extreme, that meaning he doesn't believe this, that we should do evil that good may come, but he's using it in a manner to drive a point home, that in fact does not believe it. And so, in other words, when he's saying this, he's saying, well, if I were to take these words to an extreme and do more and more evil, expecting more and more good would come, yeah, that doesn't make sense. So you're not going to pin that label on me slanderously so. And so what we're going to look at tonight is, if you look at that phrase, let us do evil that good may come, it just kind of struck me that, you know, there are ways in which, certainly in the world, in which way I've seen, that people think that way in a warped sense. But, and also there are some examples here. We're going to look at some other scriptures where, you know, we can obey the Lord in part of the way, but not all of the way. And so when we're obedient in part of his command, but not all, we sin. And so why do we struggle with that? Because we're human and we have the old nature and it's not easy. So, hopefully through this this message tonight, you can get some encouragement to follow him completely and obey in 100% obedience. And so we'll just look at a little bit of text here and some examples as to why this is difficult. So Paul here is denying that he would continue to do evil and expecting that even if some good comes out of it, he would be obeying God. He does clearly not believe that. But many people do believe it today. And, of course, they come up with their human logic and reason as to why it's justified. So, does the end justify the means? This is a term that certainly I have encountered in secular job and in the business world. Basically what it would mean is, well, you have a noble or a right end or conclusion that you're working for, but you need some means to achieve it, and so what is the actual workings and details of how you're going to get to that end? You just go and figure it out. The boss says, do something, we need this project complete, just leave it up to you and delegate on how to do that specifically, so you go ahead and you do it, and you come back to the boss later on and say, here's the project, it's accomplished, complete. And boss looks all over and says, great. Well done. Let's go on to the next project. Okay. And, you know, there may be some other peer review and such if it's done well. But so in terms of our scriptural application, you know, so does the end justify the means? We may be praying about something. You know, we want God's will or direction on a certain thing. And through prayer, many weeks, sometimes many months or years, we may get it. And so we may get that the end goal for God's will is the answer. You know, say, becoming a preacher, going to Bible school, wherever it may be, joining a certain church. He's given us a clear indication that we have a scriptural reason he's given us. We know what he wants us to accomplish, but maybe not every detail on how it's going to be even done. You know, sometimes we just think it's going to be such a miracle that it could even be accomplished, but it will be because it's his will that be done. So how is it going to get done? So this can be a struggle sometimes, and it's part faith, and it's part obedience to the Lord. But this is where a lot of times there's struggle on the details of getting to that end, especially if we're given direction from God along the way to do something to achieve his goal, his will, but we don't always follow it. Or don't maybe follow partly, but not totally. And so we put our human selves in the way. And I hate when that happens. I hate when I do that. But it happens. And so we lose part blessing, and we sin when that happens. But that's okay. You know, we want to obey God, and we want to obey Scripture. And sometimes it's a struggle. But that's what God said it would be the way it happens. And so the purpose of this message tonight is to consider what the Bible says about the idea of the end justifying the means. And I wasn't really sure where that phrase came from, but after not too much effort to find it out, it really comes from, it seems to be attributed to Machiavelli back in, I think it's about the 1400s or 1500s. Anyway, he's an Italian writer and get involved in some political issues and philosophies. But essentially what it boils down to is it's a type of human reasoning, really, based on a good works argument. And if something good is being accomplished, what does it matter on how it's being done? The fact that something good is happening must be all right. So, well, it's not. And so what we want to look at is some instruction on all this. So, as I mentioned, you know, I've come across this term, end justifying the means, in the business world, and I've certainly seen it on news, government officials, even churches, for that matter. Not saying it's our church, but it's kind of a catchy phrase that sounds good to justify something. If something good is being accomplished, who can argue with that? Well, in fact, it can be argued. So, and we ought to examine, you know, what is the goal that is set out, and whose will is it? So, let's look at some particular passages that forbid doing acts differently from what God commanded. So if we can look at the book of Matthew, for example, chapter 15, and verses 9 through 13. Matthew chapter 15, verses 9 through 13. It says in the section of Matthew, starting in verse 9, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching the doctrines, the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." And so we're into verse 14 there. But the Pharisees are getting picked on once again here in the New Testament. And so they're often used as examples of what not to do. But in this case, what it's saying is that we must not serve God according to human reasoning or understanding, for really such practices make worship vain. And so, with the example of using plants that God did not plant, and because he did not plant them, it's not his will that they would be accomplished, or in this case, since they'd be destroyed, they're going to be rooted up. And so, human reasoning is quite often something in which is different than what God tells us in the scriptures. And whether that be the ending goal in which something is to be done, or the means along the way in which it's accomplished, men seem to be great at coming up with methods and particulars in accomplishing something. We like to have goals, and we like to be able to have things accomplished. It's a sense of good feeling, but it's not often God's will. So we have to be careful of that. And so we have to look for the scriptures. We have to look to the scriptures to tell us what God has to say about what the work is that we should be doing, and also what means God would say that ought to be done. And we should need to put aside our fleshly desires and our human desires and follow God's commands. It's not always easy. So let's look at another passage here in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which he hath preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So, this is some understanding we can get here around false gospels and false teachings, and that many times, we can think of many examples, I'm sure right off the top of our head, family members, friends, loved ones that were probably efforting frequently to undo error and misunderstandings that are being received by these our family members and loved ones in their churches, or whatever it is that they're reading, whatever it is they're looking at as what they call truth. And so, you know what the Bible has to say. And we praise the Lord. We have a very strong pastor here, and he gives us great preaching and teaching from, instruction from the Word. So I don't believe we have to worry here about wrong gospel. But we often seek ourselves to understand what is being taught out there. Where do they get this information? And it gets so twisted and contorted and turned into wrong teaching. And it's discouraging, but it's true. And so we know here that those false messages should be put away, and that they're really, it's a cursed approach to teaching. So we'll look at another passage here in the book of Colossians, chapter 3. In verse 17, Colossians 3:17, "And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." So, obviously, whatever we do in word or in deed must be done in His name, in Jesus' name, by His authority. And that would include the means that we use, as well as the end goals that we pursue. We must look to Him and seek what His commands and instruction is for us. And so all this must fit within His will. So there's so much here about human reasoning and man's own methods, and over the centuries and millenniums, men have loved to come up with philosophies and ideas and ways to approach things, and love to debate the different ideas, and, well, how would you do this, and how would you do that, and my way is better than your way. But thankfully, we have the book of Proverbs here for some instructions. A verse that I like in chapter 14 and verse 12, Proverbs 14:12. You may know it from your own study. Proverbs 14:12. "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And so, man's ways often sound good. Logical, reasonable, rational, all those things. But it says here, the end thereof are the ways of death. And that's a major warning for us. And so when we don't seek God's will, or we're out of what we should be doing in terms of obedience to God, and we follow man's logic, man's reasoning, that's dangerous. And so we really need to put that under a more powerful microscope. Because it says here in Proverbs that it's probably not right. So, also want to look at a couple of examples here from the Old Testament where God's will may specify ways or means or ends, and whether or not they're followed. Let's, do I have the right verse here. Yeah. So, it's actually a reference in the book of Acts. So, if we turn to Acts chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Acts chapter 3. Verses 22 and 23. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. So we must hearken to the Lord in all things that he teaches. And when God's teaching specifies a particular goal, in this case we're calling it, or his will, we have no right to change what he said. We must obey what he says, both about the end purpose and goal, as well as any details along the way that he might specify. And so, now we're going to look at the book of Genesis, in chapter 6, we're going to look a little bit about Noah. And so Genesis chapter 6, verse 14. So in this case, Noah is receiving instruction to build an ark. And so in verse 14 it says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. So here is some particular instruction given to Noah. And he's doing this by faith. He's just really has no background or examples of why anybody would build an ark, but he got a command to build an ark, and he's going to do it. So praise the Lord for that obedience. And so, in this case, in verse 14, the end is given. It says, to build an ark. And also, along the way, he's the particular one piece of the means to do that, to build the ark, is specified as the wood. It's to be made out of gopher wood. And so, so we have the end, to build the ark, and we have at least a portion of the means, which is that it should be made out of gopher wood. And so now there's many, many other details that need to be figured out to build an ark. You can't just say, here's a whole forest of gopher wood, and just that alone will not build you the ark. You need to put it all together and assemble it. So, but, you know, the scriptures are all the truth that we need, and so when the Lord gave the scripture, you know, he deemed it sufficient that all we need to know is Noah builds the ark, and it's out of gopher wood. Good enough for us. Noah figured out all the remaining details. And so, the takeaway I get from that is that we have an end specified. It's God's will that Noah build an ark. And at least a portion of the means to do that needs to be included in order for Noah to be obedient. And so he was, in this case, since it was specified to use gopher wood, that's what he made it out of. And, you know, through the rest of the chapter here and beyond, it accomplishes the Lord's will of building the ark, and it's done. So this is a good example for us where Noah was obedient in both achieving the Lord's will of the ark being built, and including in that it needs to be made out of gopher wood, and it was. So, now, seems simple. It's written here in scriptures for us, but he didn't just go around the Lowe's and say, what do you got for a special on that lumber over there? You know, I need a good price on a lot of material. I'm going to build a large ark. Number 2, knotty pine is fine. If you're out of that, I'll just take something else. Probably not the yoke, though. That's pretty heavy. I don't want to lug that around. So, this is the type of reasoning that we start applying. And we're given an instruction. If one of us were to be given God's instruction today to build an ark, we would consult people. We would maybe hire some contractors. We would just go to town with. There's got to be some people, some experts in making of something like such as this. But Noah didn't have to be confused by all of those experts and those details. He got the goal, build the ark, and make it out of gopher wood. That's all you need. Just, okay, I'll figure out the rest and do it. And so, only if we could take instruction that simply. But we let ourselves get in the way oftentimes, and it's, we start thinking about it. We consult others and get counsel. And but a lot of times we put our human reasoning square right in the middle and cause big problems for ourselves. And so if, so you can see the example here that put in your particular case of God's will that has been given to you, as what ends has He given specifically to you to accomplish, and are you following it? Are you being obedient to that? And is He giving you details along the way? Do a little bit of this, do a little bit of that. Make sure you include that. And are you doing those things? That's what the Lord is looking for. He wants our heart. He wants us to be obedient. And He wants us to follow all of His instructions, because the instruction He gives us is going to glorify Him. That's what we want to pursue, that goal. If we start leaving things out, it causes big problems. And it gets more difficult. We wonder why. I know, I look back and I forgot to obey that one detail. So, this is the world, and this is the challenge that day-to-day living brings up. praise the Lord. In this case, Noah was fully obedient, and he built the ark according to God's instruction. Just a couple of examples of people in the Bible that had to learn along the way some consequences of not following God's commands when a specific end was given by the Lord. And so let's look in the book of Leviticus, for example, and in chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10, in verses 1 and 2. Leviticus chapter 10. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. So in this case, Aaron's sons offered incense to God using the fire that God had not commanded them to use. And they suffered a terrible consequence of that, and they died. And so they disregarded the specific instructions from the Lord and learned the lesson of consequences. And similarly, there are other examples where, we won't turn there, but in 1 Samuel, God told Saul to destroy all the Amalekites and their flocks. But Saul kept the best animals to offer sacrifice to God. Certainly, offering a sacrifice of the best animals should be a good thing, I think. But in this case, Saul put his own reasoning on top of all this and made himself a big problem. And so he disregarded the way in which God commanded him to do it. And so since he didn't follow God's command, he paid a price. And so Saul's human reasoned means, in this case, was not God's will. And so there's additional examples. We'll look at one more in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. 2 Kings, chapter 5. In verses 9 through 14. 2 Kings chapter 5. And the Bible says, "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage, and his servants came near, and spake unto him, and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean. Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So Naaman, in this case, was told to, in order to overcome the leprosy, to dip 7 times in the Jordan, and he would be cleansed from this. So being healed was the end that was God's will, if he followed this command to dip in the Jordan 7 times. But Naaman couldn't understand this. He was angry. He's like, well, in the Jordan, why would I have to dip 7 times? Sounds rather extreme, but he wanted to use other waters. You know, like so, in verse 12, there's some great waters, there's some rivers of Damascus. You know, that's a nice place to be cleaned. Surely that would work. But so he started putting his own reasoning on top of all this and said to himself, you know, I could go to a different place. I could go to a different river. Why 7 times? Surely, there must be some confusion. This instruction can't be exactly right. But no, it was right. It was from the Lord. And so, in this case, thankfully, he did go down ultimately against his better judgment. But he did follow, and he went down to Jordan and dipped 7 times, and he was his flesh was clean. So, we can see these examples that and I'm sure as we hear them, put into place our own lives and our own examples of when we're pretty clear that we've got some instruction from the Lord. Should I follow it exactly? Maybe I have some expertise on this a little bit. I know people I can talk to. I really want to get some other views and opinions. Maybe that will make it easier to accomplish God's will. But no, if we have God's will, all we need to do is be obedient in it. And too simple, but we let our own difficulties come in the way by putting in reasoning and putting in things from our education, or things we've studied, Now we can look online and all kinds of references, materials. Certainly easy to do. But a lot of times we have to put aside all that and not overcomplicate the clear, simple instruction that God has given us. So, do the ends justify the means? Does doing evil, even just a little bit, even though it brings about good result, is that okay? Well, the answer is no. It's not okay. What we've done in this case is to make sin acceptable. And by being disobedient and not following God's commands, we're causing sin. And that's hard for us to accept sometimes, but going against God's will is not His will, and therefore we call it sin. And so this makes me reflect on man's approaches and logics and reasonings in these days, and we hear so much through various media and news, and how much good is being accomplished, and stories, methods of accomplishing things. But what's really happening is that many cases that I'm aware of, as far as I know, there maybe some may be God's will, but let's say there's at least one out there that's not. But how many sins could be justified by just using the phrase, the ends are justified by the means. Good is justified by the fact that good is being accomplished along the way. Should it matter? Why does it matter how it's being done? And so quite simply, it's really boils down to that sin is just simply being justified, and that we're being disobedient to the Lord. And, so various examples come to mind in things today with divorce being made easy, justified, good reasons one or the other, various sins, fill in the blank. So other examples that or more day-to-day or practical, but they seem subtle, are the most dangerous. And so, something like stealing food to feed a hungry person, still wrong. Lying, even a little white lie, to protect a friend. Amen. And, relevant to our church, meaning things that we hear about, as far as I know, it doesn't apply to us, is compromising truth and scripture in order to maintain a unity within the body. These little subtleties are where the attacks come in and are easy for us to overlook and think they're okay, think that the ends are justified by the means. But what we have there is really that evil is being done, that good may come. And it's whatever amount of good is a part of it. Ultimately, it comes down to disobedience and not doing God's will, and we have to mark that as sin. And so what we want to do is heed these warnings and these subtleties that are in front of us every day. And they're real things. They're challenges. They're difficulties we have to encounter. But one piece of scripture we want to keep right in front of ourselves is in James 1:13, where it says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and He himself does not tempt anyone." So, if we take all these temptations to an extreme and say, God sent evil, why did this happen to me? We have to pray about these things and look for God's will in it. And so the instruction tonight is, we want to be following God's will. We want to make wise choices, especially relevant to our Wednesday night service. We need to be in prayer about God's will. And are we being obedient entirely in the things that He's given us to do? And so, God wants us to learn through the Scriptures, through the instruction of His Word. That's what He's given us. It's all the truth that we need. And we need to put ourselves aside and our human reasoning away so that we get the blessing of following His will and seeking after Him to be holy as He. And that's the best way that the Lord can use us to accomplish His will. And obviously, as a church body, it's the best way for our church body to be healthy, praying for one another, following God's will, being obedient. Each one of us as individual church members, we don't know whether one or the other is obedient or not obedient, etc. But as we pray for one another, we can certainly pray along these lines, and our assembly will be strengthened and do what we ought to do to follow God's will for our lives. So I will close with that, and trust this instruction has been encouraging to you, but also the realities of life are difficult, and we realize that, but still we can be focused on God's will for our lives. And so let's close in a word of prayer for this portion of the message. Heavenly Father, I thank You tonight for this message and the learning from Scripture. And Lord, I pray that we would each and every one be obedient to You. And Lord, that should any temptation come, that Lord, we can overcome it through truth and what we learn from the Scriptures. And Lord, we just are thankful for the truth contained in the Bible and what we learn. And Lord, we just look to You each and every day for this instruction. And Lord, encourage us to search the Scriptures daily, praying for one another. And Lord, that we will be obedient to Your will. And we pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.